Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
How you doing? Oh, come on. That is pathetic. How are we doing? Amen, amen. How many is ready to receive what God has for them today? How many would be okay if God just wanted to do an outpouring and start a revival right here in Spindale, North Carolina? Are you sure? Amen. Well, we want to welcome everyone in today. Those who are joining us online, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to join us in worship with your giving, you can go over to fathersvineyard.org, click on the green contribution button. We would love to connect with you. Also, if you have prayer requests or anything you would like us to agree with you on you can click on the little chat bot below there and do that. Now, do we have any first-time visitors? First-time visitors? Are we all home folk today? First time? Are you first time? Listen. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to fight for your second time visit now. That's what we're going to do. But in the meantime, Pastor Terry would like to meet you at the end of the service and just give you a free gift. I've been told it's not hush puppies this week. That was only last week, so I apologize for that. But there will be a nice gift in there. Now, how many can say, I need you, Lord? God, I'm on my knees again, and I'm begging, please, again. God, I need you. You ready to sing? Let's stand and let's worship and tell him we need him and welcome him.
To Scriptures tell us that we have been born again, that we are a new creation, that we have resurrection power abiding within us, and the whole world, anybody that doesn't know that needs to know that. So we've got a message. This song talks about that. I know who I am. It's very important.
I know. Dying, and you gave me life, Lord. You.
Words fall short, songs fall short, Lord, but you never do, God. There is no one like you, Father. We love you so much, God. We don't have to carry the guilt around with us anymore. Oh, we have freedom in you, Lord. Help us to realize that, God. There's hearts here today, souls here today that carry the burden of guilt, the burden of not knowing the treasure that they are, not knowing that they have a purpose, God. God, I just pray, Father, that you'd pour out your Spirit upon this place and anyone hurting in any of those capacities, God, that they'd receive newness of life in you. Jesus. Hallelujah. except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. For all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, but don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, God. We just ask, Lord, that you pour out your Spirit upon us, God. We hunger and thirst for your presence, God. We can't do it without you, but Lord, you bought us back. On that cross, you bought us back. We are yours. It is finished. It is done. We belong to you. We're imperfect, Lord, but you are perfect, God, and you reside within us through that precious blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross, God. Oh, thank you for healing us and making us whole and redeeming us and restoring us, God. We bless your holy name. Thanks be to God. Give him praise, church. Give him praise.
Come, my soul, but don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Can I thank, praise the Lord? Come, my soul, but don't you get shy on me.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Lord, to let my mouth be filled with your praise. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Wow. My name's David Robertson. My wife Sue teaches a Sunday school class here. I don't come out often. Kind of hard to get around. My back's messed up. There's nothing they can do for my back. Anyway, getting old is not for sissies, you know. But anyway, I started getting where I couldn't breathe too good, walk around too good. I told family one day, I said, I think it's my heart. You know, you got heart problems, your legs drag around, they don't work too good. Nothing works too good without a heart. Anyway, this past Sunday, I fell out of bed and hit my head. Sue thought I was dead. Little portrait. Anyway, next thing I know, I was in a cracker box going down to Spartanburg. I didn't know that I fell. And I didn't know that I hit my head. I got down there, they run a wire up wrist into my heart. And they found two major blockages. Another blockage, about 50 to 60%. And I heard them talking while they were working on me. I was awake, half out, asking for a 5/16. I thought it was working on a car. But I got done, and a little over an hour later, and they put two stents in. So I'm having a little dizzy spells every once in a while, trying to get used to the medicine. That's what they say. But I thank you all for your prayers. I know y'all have been praying for me for a while. And I also want to thank God for y'all praying for my family. My oldest grandson is here, Connor. And that... That makes a big difference in my life. I got Connor, and I got Matthew David, as a grandson, and my girls, Anna and Megan, are here. Cor and Kessie, they're up the mountain. But you know, I thank God for my family and my wife, and my daughters. And I thank God for you people and your prayers. I really do. And I think God has touched me. I do feel better. I'm walking a whole lot better than I was, believe it or not. Walking like this one day and then walking like this another. Yeah. So, I appreciate you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Love you, brother. Amen. Amen.
I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that there's a new and a fresh anointing that He has for this house today. And all you have to do is reach out and take it. There are people here this morning who are feeling pain emotionally, emotional pain. There are people who are experiencing physical pain. If there is anything that you know that you need, just ask the Lord and just raise your hand, and it's here for you today. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the living God, His anointing is here. It's falling fresh on us today. It's a new anointing in this house. Accept it.
Amen. How many of you will accept that? Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Connor, we've been praying for Connor. Y'all remember praying for Connor? What, Connor, where are you? There you are. You've grown a lot since the last time I've seen you. Becoming a grown man on us. But we praise God for you. We praise God for David and his family. And how many of you have a healing in your life that God has already done for you? No, just give Him praise for that, okay? So how many of you have something in your life that you need healed? Okay? Now just, she said, reach out for it. Just ask Him for it. Just go ahead and ask Him for it. He delivers on His word. Just ask Him for it. I tell you what, just the Bible talks about crying out to God. And that means just with a loud voice, just cry out to God in our desperation that we really want Him to touch our lives so we can touch others' lives. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. You know, one of the things the Lord has been showing me, actually just a few months ago, you can be seated if you want to right now. Just a few months ago, that we try to make our faith get big. There's nothing wrong with that, but I think we focus too much a lot of times on making sure we have enough faith. When Jesus said, if you've got faith as much as what? A little mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and it'll be done. So our faith should grow, but it's only going to grow to the amount that we have full confidence in his ability. If we doubt what he can do, it doesn't matter if we say we have great faith. If we doubt what he can do. So it's more about a solid foundation in what I believe about God. And if we have just a mustard seed of faith, of believing that God will be able to do whatever he said he would do, and he can heal anything, he can do the impossible, then if we just have that much belief, that much faith in his nature and in his ability to do, he said, you can move mountains. So, amen. It's true. True. There's two children, but I think both of them, I'm looking for Teresa. Both of them are second graders, and they have cancer, 7 years old. And one, we're able to share that nothing has worked for the child, this little girl, 7-year-old girl. Nothing's worked for her. Chemo hasn't worked. Radiation hasn't worked. Nothing's worked for her. And the doctor said, without a miracle, she won't live. So do you have your seed? We know the doctor's report. We also know God's nature. We also know God's power. Amen. So, I'd like for you to pray for, what's her name again? Shyla. Pray for Shyla. She's a 7-year-old girl. I'd like for you to, because the mother has asked the staff to go to their churches and say, pray for my baby. Now, here's the thing about it. What if it's your 2-year-old? How desperate would you be? How desperate would you be? So go ahead and use your little seed. It's given all of us a measure of faith. And use that for Shyla. Believing that the impossibility will be taken care of by the power of God. Would you do that? Let's stand to our feet, because one part of the Bible says that we stand and pray. And we lift up holy hands. So stand and pray. Her name is Shyla. So you just begin to cry out to God on Shyla's behalf. now get desperate and lift your voice higher. He's the miracle maker. He's the deliverer. Lord, Shiloh needs a miracle. You're the miracle worker. Lift up the other 7-year-old child as well. Just go ahead and lift up. I don't know the child's name, but just lift up. God knows.
Everything worships, everything made. Nothing escapes your heart.
Worship him.
Majesty comes.
Worship him.
Daughters and sons, hold up your name to declare you their God. Bless the Lord. Bless the
years. And his medication isn't working. He's got some difficulties, but the medication was working, but isn't working now. So let's pray for him. He actually wants to come up and be prayed for. So if there's five people that you feel led of the Lord, just five people, led of the Lord, come lay hands on him. There's two, three, four, five. Come on. That'd be good. Pray for Matthew. Now everybody pray for Matthew that he be healed as well. The children are coming. They really are. The children are coming.
Power in the blood of Jesus.
deal with blood clots. And he's requested that people pray for him. So if you feel led of the Lord to come and pray for Kenneth, for his arm to be healed, just come on up. You can sit or stand, just whatever you're comfortable with.
Last week, our nephew was hospitalized with cirrhosis and was in liver failure. He had 24 hours. Through the healing rooms, you know, and things like that, he couldn't come himself but had talked about often wanting to. So my husband said, 24 hours, I don't care what the doctor says, there's something to it, I'm standing in the gap. Everything that he received that night, we took back to him, and within an hour and a half of receiving that, he woke up. The next day he was sitting up. His liver's not in failure anymore. And he's in rehab at the nursing center at Oak Grove, getting his strength back, getting ready to come home so that he can walk up in church for the first time in his life on his own. Praise God. And through that, the Lord chose to use that to reach my husband's brother and sister who he's prayed for years. His brother now says, I remember that feeling of God as a child when we went to church, and I want that feeling back. Woo! All from a mustard seed of stepping forward in that faith and believing no matter what the doctor said, what God can do.
Amen.
Amen.
Just see now.
Every once in a while, we just need to be still and know that He's God. And stillness is not anything to be afraid of, really, something to be treasured. I know we need to pray for Brenda, my wife, and her mother. Her mother's having a procedure done this morning. She told me that I cannot be there. I have to be here. And it's a 10-minute procedure. They're going to drill a hole right at her hairline, and because she has a brain bleed that is causing pressure, and they actually think that that's the reason her left side is not functioning well. They don't think she really had a stroke, but they think that's what's causing it. So it's just a 10-minute procedure, but he said once it's done, that she should start feeling better, and she should be progressively getting better the coming days. So I want you to pray for her. Her name's Pauline, and then pray for Brenda. Brenda's been back and forth a lot with her mom and spending the night with her a good bit and all. So, but be praying for her strength and everything. And I want to pray for Jerry Hamrick, which is Dr. Clint Hamrick's father, who's had some back issues and several surgeries, and he's in rehab, and he needs a touch from the Father as well. So let's do that just for a few minutes. Would you do that? If you don't mind, just stand up in groups. Just get in small groups. You have to stand up to do that, y'all. Just get in some small groups. You don't know each other. Introduce yourself to each other. And just be praying. Pray for Andy. We still need to pray for Andy. Andy, raise your hand. Andy. Raise your hand. We need to pray for Andy as well, for him to be completely recovered. So y'all just go ahead and start praying for Brenda, for Pauline, and for Jerry Hamrick, and for Andy. Jesus, 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 Jesus Let him move when God moves. I'm not trying to do anything, make anything. You know, you cannot plan a move of God. It's sort of like planning a hurricane. You understand what I'm saying? You just can't, you know. In Asbury University in Kentucky, there was a message that was given by a young man, young minister, and his message was about the love of God. And at the end, he said, "You become the love of God by experiencing the love of God." And his invitation was, "Come experience the love of God." And he walked off stage. 200 kids, college kids, students remained and went to the altar. And I was on February the 8th. Still going today. Yeah. Worship. They had a previous one, February the 3rd, 1970, and they had about six or seven. So they have a history of God moving in that Christian university. The one was in 1970, February the 3rd, 1970, and here we are 53 years later, and it's happening again there. We're not trying to copy anything, not trying to do it. I just want God to be God. Let him do what he wants to do. There's people that are criticizing what's going on because they don't understand. And they want to be sort of like what Eric was talking about this morning in Sunday school. They sort of want to be, they want to police everything. And it has to be done according to them, or it's not God. Pray for it. And the thing is, it's led by students. It's not led by any big name, not by the pastor, their praise team is four people. You know, got a piano player and a box drummer, you know, whatever that is, and a guitar player and a singer. Mainly it's worship, but it's also prayer, and it's also deliverance. It's also a lot of things happening. Just let God do what he wants to do. Wasn't my plan to do any of this today. I studied hard. But I've learned to yield quickly and let God do what he wants to do. There's a lot I could say about that thing, but it went from those 100 students that through that night, and then more students kept coming till the chapel was full. And the administration saw what was happening, so they canceled classes. They didn't want to interrupt what was going on. How many of you have been seeing some of this on YouTube? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. People are wanting to. I mean, people are coming not just from the college; they're coming from Brazil, Mexico, Poland, South Korea, Canada, Kenya, Ireland, England, just to name a few places. So, what's happening? Well, I believe it's an outpouring for that place, an outpouring of God's love. That was the invitation. Come experience God's love, and you can become God's love to other people. They've been desperate for worship. Desperation was given. Hunger was given. Granted by the Holy Spirit. It was confession. There's been confession. There's been repentance. There's been prayers. There's been testimonies. There have been given many testimonies by the students there
have given testimony about the release of anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts. Now, if you want to complain about that, then you can complain, but don't complain around me. I'm not the one to complain to. I'd a whole lot rather see kids being doing that than doing the other things that causes depression. It causes suicidal thoughts and all that. I want to share just a little teaching, just a little. We want to say, well, what is happening? What is going on? People call it revival. People call it just a lot of different things. And I think because of, and revival is a word that is greatly overused and largely misunderstood. See, the term revival is an Old Testament concept. The reason people needed revival to be revived in the Old Testament is because they had to do everything by obedience to the law. And when they didn't follow the law and drifted from God, they put away God's word, they didn't do God's word, didn't follow God's word. And the Old Testament concept is they needed a life put back in them, the life of living, the life of living for God. So that's the reason in the Old Testament you'll see the word revive, revive, revive. I think it's in there about 6 or 7 times. When Josiah was 8 years old, he was king, and they were remodeling the temple and rebuilding, and they found a book. And the book was their Bible, the law of God. And they read it, and the king just tore his clothes because he come to realize that all these years they hadn't been doing what God wanted them to do. They needed reviving because their life was not being lived for God. So in that case, what happened after they realized what was up, the people wept and worshiped and cried out to God, fell on their knees and just on their faces cried out to God. And what came out of that was that they went in and tore down everything that was an idol. See, I don't know what the fruit will be from Ashbury yet. I don't know what its fruit. I don't know what the fruitfulness will be yet. It's yet to come. As far as the fullness of it, we already see depression being people being delivered, people being healed. But it's an Old Testament term that has very little significance in the New Testament. See, in Old Testament, it needed reviving because it had lost its life to live for God. So it had to be revived. And revival has the thought process, well, this is revival this time, but we'll need it again somewhere down the road. Do you hear what I'm saying? So that's an Old Testament concept. And what I'm concerned about is that when we use the word revival in these situations, in our context today, it gives the people, sometimes it gives the people a thought process that, okay, it's short-lived. Because we're gonna have to have this again. That's an Old Testament view. That's not a New Testament view. That's the reason I'm telling you, you can't schedule a revival. You can put a sign up. Don't mean you're going to have revival. I'm not against meetings. I'm not. So don't leave here saying he's against me. No, I'm not against meetings. I'm not against that. I'm just saying we sometimes have the wrong concept. We have an Old Testament concept trying to live in a New Testament reality. See, the reality of the New Testament, Christ is in me. I don't die. Do you hear me? What he gave me was not life for a little bit. What he gave you and me was everlasting life, eternal life. Christ is in me. My spirit doesn't die. It doesn't. Listen to me. Christ is my revival. He is my revival. I hope I can communicate this in such a way that there's nothing wrong using the word. It really isn't. You can call it whatever you want. But see, revival in contemporary terms, and when it means to be refreshed, to be revigorated. That is not New Testament concept of me being alive. You only revive something because it died. You only revive something because it died. And you have to revive it because there's no life in it anymore. That's an Old Testament concept. That's not a New Testament concept. New Testament reality is Christ paid for it all. Redeemed me and you. And gave us his life inside us. He said, behold, you are a new creature, a new creation. So if Pastor, if you don't want us to call it, you can call it whatever you want. I'm just saying, don't have the concept that okay, he's gonna make me live again. Because you didn't die. Your spirit is alive forever. I have eternal life now. But what is it? What is it that's going on? I tell you one thing that's going on. It is an awakening, because in the New Testament, awakening is to bring something, is to make something that is dead alive. And it talks about Jesus. Jesus was, he died, he was buried, and he what? Resurrected. That's revival. Because he was dead. Do you hear what I'm saying? But in the New Testament, it means awakening, to quicken, to bring about life. Now don't go out and start saying, y'all, you don't need to say revival. Don't go out correcting people when they say revival. Just don't do that. Right, Eric? Now listen, the only reason I'm picking on Eric is because he shared that about his own life, that he felt like he was the little policeman that had to go correct everybody. But he shared that about his life. But he's not that way anymore. Why? He had something to happen. And it wasn't revival. It was enlightenment. See, these things that's going on in Ashbury, there's an awakening to people who don't know Jesus. They're coming to Jesus. They're being born again. There's also an enlightenment to the believers, so they can be, what's the word? Romans 12, 2, what is it? What's the word that the believers need to be? Transformed. Believers need to be transformed. We're born again, we already have the eternal life, but we need transformation. So for the believers that are in Ashbury, they're being transformed because there's an enlightenment coming from the outpouring of God about his love that they didn't know, that they wasn't experiencing. It's not that they became alive again. They were already alive because Jesus Christ is in them. But transformation needs to happen in the church. Transformation needs to have a place that we renew, and that word renewing is not revival. Yeah, that word renew means to, it's like renovate. How many of you have ever gone through renovation at your home? You know, that means you take out everything that you don't want and put in what you do want. And you remodel and you do, renewing is setting our minds and start thinking the way he thinks. That's happening up in Ashbury. Are y'all okay with that? See, revival is an Old Testament concept, but we have a New Testament reality, and it's Christ. He's already done the work. See, the Old Testament is about your performance under the law. It's what you do. New Testament is what he's done. It's a surrendered life. So it's an invitation. See, the awaken, Ephesians 5:14, he says, awaken, O sleeper. Sleep talks about when they're dead. Awaken. See, you don't have Jesus. That's an awakening. Then you have him. Then you have eternal life. That life does not need to be revived. What needs to happen is a transformation in our soul, in our mind, our will, and our emotion. Are y'all okay with this? I'm trying to give you the structure of the biblical terminology. See, I know contemporary revival will say a lot of other different things, but that's not what the Bible says. It can be that, but I'd rather know what the Bible says about it. So, Ephesians 1 tells us that Paul is saying, I want you to have the spirit of prayer, that you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge. This is his prayer for born-again believers, not for lost people. And he says, I pray that the Lord give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation knowledge. And then he says this, and I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And he talks about three things. He says, be enlightened about the hope of your calling. That word calling is an invitation. So they were given an invitation. They responded to the invitation, and the Holy Spirit was pouring out, doing what he did, doing what he needed to do in their midst. Yep. Then he says hope. Then he says the riches of the glory of his inheritance that is in the saints. So the first thing is you have an invitation for his love. You have an invitation for hope. And that's what he's giving. Everybody that was prayed for, there was an invitation for hope. Why? The hope to believe that I can be healed, that he can heal me, that he can deliver me. And then he says the glory of his inheritance. What's his name? See, the promises of God are in the saints. And the enlightenment is saying, okay, every promise that I've ever said is for you. It's a promise for you. So he's enlightening people of his promises. He said, and the promises are in the saints. It didn't say for, it said in. They're in the saints. And then you have the third thing he said, and so that they will know the surpassing greatness of his power. So that's deliverance, healing, provision, whatever it is that you need. So that's what we as believers get when we have moments like that. And that's what believers are getting in Ashbury. They're getting enlightenment. The ones that don't know him, they're getting an awakening. They're coming to know him. Now, are we trying to reproduce it? Absolutely not. We can't do it. We just need to let God be God. Let God do what he wants to do. We need to do that not just here. We need to do that in our everyday life. Just let God be God. Are y'all okay with that?
Is there anything you wanted to add, or did we cover it? Are we okay? Okay, we're okay. So they had to observe the law. They had to do the law. When they didn't, they needed new life. We just surrender to the life that's already in us that never dies, never needs reviving. But we do need transformation.
Reaction. And so woke is really against the standard of God in almost every way. They say they're woke. They're not woke. Okay? They're blind. They're broken. It's the days of Noah. I mean, you know, before the flood. This is God raising up his standard and bringing it back to where it should be. Do you see what I'm saying? And I've sat in, as a student in chapel services, and I mean, I've seen that break out. And, you know, the key and what the conviction to me was my prayerlessness. We are the church. You know, Jesus... He took his disciples out. He knew he was going to suffer on the cross. He took his best guys, Peter, James, and John. He said, can you pray with me? Can you pray with me? He comes back. They're all fell asleep. They think about it. You know, you need prayer. You need people to stand with you. And you come in and you say, what are you doing? You're asleep. My concern is the church asleep? You know, it started with prayer. It wasn't even about petitioning. It wasn't about supplication. It wasn't any of those things that there's different types of prayer. But the prayer that they had was just abiding in the vine. Just being in the presence of God. In a chapel service. You know, a few students said, hey, we had the chapel service, we worship God. Okay. But we want to stay after in prayer, and it just grew from that. I mean, it's just no big names. It was a 100-year-old chapel, no renovations, pews without pads. Yeah, I'm telling you. The thing I got is God saying to me, I don't know about you, but prayerlessness. George Mueller, I heard guys talking about George Mueller. He never asked for anything. He started in Bristol, England. He started orphanages for people. He said he said there were 50,000 answered prayers. That's what he do. Just go to God. 50,000 answered prayers. So my thing is, maybe we need to spend more time in the presence of God. Like he said, that pregnant peace and quiet and tranquility. You know, just laying there, I know, just prostrate before God. And just thinking God thoughts, that which is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely. Think on these things. Amen? Maybe just turn off TV. Huh? Maybe fast Facebook. I don't know. Whatever you need to do, God speak to you about that. But let's abide in the vine. Amen? I am the vine, and you are the branches. There it is.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. And that's what God was speaking to me. If he's saying you need to pray and just be in the presence of God, that's what he showed me. If that fits, you do it. But we can have all the teaching in the world. We can read our Bibles. We can do all those things. But you know what? We can get puffed up and go around trying to correct everybody. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when we soak in the presence of God, we marinate like you would a steak. We just marinate in the presence of God. That's what he was showing me. Jeff, you need, it's prayerlessness. You need to pray.
Amen.
Don't be asleep in this hour. You be with Jesus. When Jesus comes and knocks at your door, you say, yeah, here I am. I got to be about the master service.
Amen. Amen. What we're going to do, I want you guys, you can play or whatever. Here's what we're going to do. If you feel like you need this time with God, we're gonna just let them play, and the altar is open for you to come and pray, and that'll be your prayer. It won't be your closing prayer. It'll be your opening prayer from this moment on. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the altars will be open, and as they play, you decide what you want to do. If this is a moment for you to say, I want to start my transformation today. And if you don't know Jesus, you can come and we can lead you to him. So don't lose the moment.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.